צמות 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 לחוב ונפשי קומה 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 לחוב סורי
Shalom Chavarim, this is John Parsons with Hebrew for Christians, and today I'm going to try something new, and if it seems like it's going to be fruitful, and more importantly, if I'm able to manage the time given all the other things I do for the Hebrew for Christians website, it will become a regular feature, I hope, of Hebrew for Christians, and that's namely the Daily Devar, what I'm calling the Daily Devar, Daily Word, and I'm hoping that I'll be able to put shorter meditation pieces and just insights and maybe even just philosophical discussions if they're appropriate for you just to take a quick listen to. So in light of that, today I want to talk about choosing to believe. Now the Spirit of God cries out, choose life that you may live. That's from Deuteronomy 30 verse 19, which implies that it's our responsibility to believe in the reality of God. Indeed, that's the first and great commandment, is it not? Anochi Adonai Elohecha, I am the Lord your God, which is the law of faith. That's the obligation to believe in Hashem and to trust in Him and to be understanding Him to be your Lord. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of bondage. You believe that. That's the starting point. Faith also implies trusting in His providential care by affirming that all is well and all manner of things shall be well, and to understand that our present struggle is designed by God to help us grow in grace and a knowledge of the truth. So we believe that all things work for our good. The scriptures teach that in Romans 8:28. And therefore we choose life, both in happier moments when all things are going well, but also and especially in the midst of our afflictions, in the panting of our hearts for deliverance, in the loneliness of our heartaches, in the lament of our soul or the pain caused by our sins. Gamzu letova. This too is for good. Faith courageously refuses the messages of fear, silences the angry voices of the world and resists the idols of the age that offer spurious respite from the struggle at hand. If we live by the Spirit, let's also walk in the Spirit, it says in Galatians 5:25. We may ask God to help us choose life, but what does that mean if not asking for God to grant us the ability to believe in the miracle of love despite everything else? After all, even though we are given indeed precious comfort and assurance from the Holy Spirit, we still encounter ambiguity in life. We still struggle sometimes with our faith. If we're honest with that and we catch ourselves in moments of unbelief, we can move forward. But if we deny that we sometimes struggle with our faith, we're going to have a harder go of it. After all, Yeshua chided his followers at times for their lack of faith, and he advised them to keep believing even in the face of uncertainty. And while it's not easy to believe, it is easy to fool ourselves into thinking that we're believing when in fact we're not. There are a lot of ways to fool yourself and to engage in self-deception. You might think that you believe and that you have faith in the Lord when in fact your lifestyle gives the lie to that. For example, you might say you believe in God and believe in Jesus as your Savior, but there's no indication of that having any impact in your daily decisions, no change in your direction, no real hunger for the things of God and heaven. And in that case, honesty would force you to show your hand and reveal the truth to yourself. But most of us try to cover that up because we're terrified at the idea that we're not what we think we are. But that mismatch is really a real problem for a lot of people. Another example of self-deception would be to say that you're full of faith and you're trusting in God for your life, but you're secretly worried and anxious and not really trusting God. So let's get it settled that true faith in God and truly walking in faith requires a full-on heart passion. You know, love the Lord your God, b'kol levavcha, b'kol nafshecha, b'kol me'edecha, with all your heart, soul, mind, and being. You're not to hold back anything. Jesus said, take up your cross and follow me. End that relationship with your ego. Surrender yourself fully. Now, if you think that that's an easy thing to do, then it might be that you haven't really seriously worked through the temptation to not follow through or have not looked at how much is being asked, which is everything. Choosing life involves the surrender of the heart and the will to the promises of God and choosing to receive the blessing of the divine presence, His word, His promises, His healing, and resolutely deciding to live in light of that hope regardless of your circumstances. And that's not a trivial thing. That's because believing requires making a decision and making your mind up and being settled in your conviction and walking with full assurance and confidence and setting your heart as a flint and moving forward and avoiding the distractions, avoiding all those things that try to seduce you away from the realm of faith. That's not easy to do. That involves full-on warfare with this prince of the world and all the media and things that constantly are vying for our attention. Etymologically, to decide means to cut away other options. So Yeshua tells us to take up the cross and die, because that which is dead no longer suffers from ambivalence and carnal inner conflict. I have been crucified with Messiah. It's no longer I who live, but Messiah lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That, of course, is Galatians 2:20. There are just no half measures here. When we accept that we have already been crucified with Messiah, we confess that our true life is not here. It's not in this world, but it's bound up in him, and that God alone is our ultimate concern and end. In that sense, the life we now live in the flesh catches up with the truth and power that God has decreed for our salvation. That's why Father Abraham closed his eyes to this world in order to count the stars and to see the blessing to come. If we're spiritually identified with Yeshua, we are both made dead to this age, Olam Hazeh, and awakened to the realm that transcends the appeals of the flesh. That's Olam Haba. We no longer live Chaye Sha'ah, that's fleeting life, but Chaye Olam, that's eternal life. As it's written, if then you have been raised with Messiah, seek the things which are above, where Messiah is seated at the right hand of God. Focus your thoughts on things above, not on things here on earth, for you've died, and your life has been hidden with God in Christ. Now this verb in this passage, the aorist verb, you have died, indicates you have died once for all. That is, this is a condition granted by the power and agency of God on your behalf. You don't try to die to the flesh. You don't try to crucify yourself. You accept what God has done by killing its power over you or within you through Yeshua and his gift of salvation. All this takes faith, of course. Affirm then that you're dead to this world. You're dead to sin's power. You're set free and no longer enslaved to the deception of the worldly matrix and so on. Now you are made alive to an entirely greater and more powerful order and dimension of reality, namely the spiritual reality that's not disclosed to the vanity of this age. Therefore, we are to consciously focus our thoughts on the hidden reality of God rather than on the temporal world that's passing away. For we are looking not to the things that are seen, but to things unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. That's from 2 Corinthians 4:18. And here again, we have what I've called the two-tiered dualism of reality. We have the natural realm, the realm of illusion, Olam HaSheker, that's the deceptive world. And then we have the eternal realm, the realm of truth and God's light and heaven. And those two worlds are bridged by the heart of faith, as the invisible things are clearly seen by the heart of faith, being understood by the things who are made. That is God's eternal power and Godhead. That's from the book of Romans. Well, I'm going to wrap this up because I want this to be a daily devar, a short word of encouragement to you. A great verse in this connection is what's been called the Shviti. It's a meditative sort of prayer that's found in Psalm 16, verse 8. And it goes like this: Shviti Adonai lenegdi tamid ki mimini bal emot. And that means I've set the Lord always before me. Because he's at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Yea, though the mountains be removed and the sea be shaken, we will not be moved. Our hearts will be stayed on the Lord our God. So, Father, we ask you for help. We ask you for strength. We ask you for courage. We ask you to carry on and help us persevere. So please be with us. Grant us your favor. Help us be empowered by your Holy Spirit to walk in ways that please you. Be with us, Lord. I call upon your name and I ask you bless all those listening to this message, that they would come closer to you. They would draw closer to you and experience you in a brand new, radically wonderful way. In the name of Yeshua. Amen. Please Please note that the music that you've enjoyed comes from Avraham Fried. Look for his music on Amazon.com. And also, please visit us at HebrewForChristians.com for more about the Jewish roots of the faith, the Jewish holiday cycle, and, of course, learning Hebrew. Shalom, shalom, Chavarim.